And welcome to the Center for Health Administration Studies' first podcasted interview. My name is Jordan Dabrowski, and I'm here today with Dr. Stacy Tesler-Lindell, professor and practicing physician at the University of Chicago and the founder and chief innovation officer of a new social impact company called NowPow. Dr. Lindell, thank you so much for meeting me here today.
Thank you for your interest.
Before we get started, I'm assuming that some of our listeners may have already heard about NowPow through media coverage or their own employer's adoption of the service. But for those who haven't, can you give us just a brief description of what NowPow is and how your experience as a doctor on Chicago's South Side led to its creation?
NowPow is a software company. The name comes from the idea that knowledge is power. NowPow solves the problem that is faced by everybody in the caring community, a doctor like myself, nurses, social workers, case managers, even people working in public housing and jail and prison system. Everybody in the caring community is struggling with lack of knowledge about the most vital resources of our communities that we need to stay well, manage with disease, and take care of others. NowPow emerged from many years of my work here on the South Side of Chicago at the University of Chicago, working in collaboration with people, community leaders, residents, students from the South Side of Chicago. We were motivated to work together to solve big problems that were impeding the health and economic vitality of this region. And we discovered very early on that we had poor quality data about the assets of this region, which made it extremely difficult for a doctor like me to connect my patient to basic resources she needs to stay well. It also made it really difficult for an executive director of a community-based economic development organization to know what were the assets, the business assets in his community, so he knew what other kinds of businesses to attract, or how to interest tourists, or who would employ the youth in his community. That's how we got started.
That's great. I love hearing how it's very connective in its origin, talking about kind of bringing the strengths out of the South Side that sometimes gets a bad reputation. That's really great.
We have a habit in general, this happens in science and in medicine, we tend to focus on what's broken. We focus on disease, what's not right. And a deficit-based view of things, while it works fairly well in science, has stigmatizing and negative implications for communities. So even when we talk about people, we don't talk about diabetics or abused people. We talk about a person with a diabetes or a person who has suffered abuse. And I'd like to think of the value of looking at communities similarly. Yes, there are problems in every community, but Let's look at the glass half full. What are the assets of our communities so we know what we can leverage? How can we put the parts of our communities together in a way that produce better health and better economic vitality, which every community wants? We always want better.
Yes, absolutely.
So I think starting from an asset-placed or an asset-based approach really leads us down a different path than if we focus on what's broken.
So speaking of assets, I want to talk a little bit about what's been out there so far. I think a lot of us as patients have seen when we go into an appointment, the doctor types something into a computer and then tells us our prescribed medication will be ready when we get there. How does NowPow integrate, interact with, improve upon existing electronic medical records and e-prescribing platforms like the one I just described?
So it's really the history of adoption of the digital world in medicine is very interesting. It was driven heavily by a desire to electronically or digitally manage people's prescription medicines. Why? Well, insurance companies want to make sure doctors prescribe on formulary, that we prescribe certain medications that are most cost effective for the insurer. Doctors and pharmacists and people concerned about safety in healthcare want to make sure that our prescriptions are legible. And the digital environment enables better legibility. It also enables us to use tools to make sure that we're not prescribing dangerous combinations of drugs. Certainly, the pharmaceutical industry is eager to see digital management of prescriptions because this is business intelligence for the pharmaceutical industry, even for retail pharmacies. So the push to move from paper and pencil in healthcare to the digital electronic health record was heavily driven by the desire to digitally manage drug prescriptions. Now, drugs are important. Most of my patients have cancer, and there's no question that connecting them to medications that treat their cancer has huge impact on their lives. For the most part, though, we know that what determines health is not largely the prescription drugs we take. It's everything else we do. It's where we live. It's how we live. It's how we work and learn and play. It really calls on understanding not just the drugs that are available to people and how they work, but what are the resources of our communities that are available to people and how can those be used for health. So NowPow took, in the early days when we were a demonstration project here at the University of Chicago, the project was called Community RX, we tested the idea that we could electronically prescribe community just like we electronically prescribe drugs. And in so doing, we would have a digital system, just like with drugs, that would allow us to track whether or not people got these referrals, a referral I make, let's say, for a weight loss or a fitness program. We could see how many of these programs are available to community, where there are gaps, where there are gluts. We might start to get insight into the supply and demand of these resources. We might start to generate data about the quality of the resources offered in the community that could be used to improve quality over time. So we were really inspired by digital prescribing of drugs, and we're both from the beginning when we started the demonstration here at the University of Chicago, and now as it NowPow marches down its path, really continue to be inspired by the idea that moving from paper and pencil to digital in this area of our economy will give people better information to take care of their health, and will give the whole health, human, social services sectors better data to improve the quality of its offerings.
Absolutely. That sounds really exciting and really promising.
Well, that is the exciting part. You know, really getting really bringing transparency to these vital sectors, helping these vital sectors come into the digital economy is a really interesting and exciting part of what NowPow is doing, in my view.
Absolutely. And I think you're already touching on this a little bit, but I'm just wanting to, can we flip the switch a second and see what this looks like from the patient's perspective? So what do you think this will have in terms of the effect on the community, like the one in the South Side here, where resources may be there but not well connected, or other communities like it?
So the best evidence I have to answer that question comes from a study that we published in the journal Health Affairs late last year. And that study looked at the Community RX experiment. So this was using a beta version of the technology. NowPow has licensed that technology from the University of Chicago and has rebuilt and expanded the technology. But when we look at the Community RX, sort of the prototype for NowPow, and we track patients over time, people who actually received a healthy RX, a prescription, so to speak, of resources near their home that were tailored to their health needs, we see that people use new community resources that they hadn't known about before, new to them. So they learn about new resources in their community. About 20% of people who participated in a survey about their experience with Healthy RX said, and this was on average within about 2 weeks, that they had gone to one of these places that they had never been to before. And one of the most exciting and interesting findings to me as a scientist and as a humanist is that half the people used information they received from their own community prescription to help somebody else, to tell somebody else where they could go to get the help that they needed. So if we can produce a digital system that connects people to community resources in a way that meets their own individual needs, but also empowers them with information that they could use to help somebody else, I think that's a multiplicative impact where information, unlike drugs, can spread from person to person. If I give my patient a pill, presumably only she benefits. Mm-hmm. We could imagine ways that other people in the family benefit. Right. Let's say if it's an antidepressant pill, or if I give a man a Viagra, maybe his partner benefits. But an information intervention, as a doctor, if I deliver information to you that's good for your health, and then you say, wow, I loved that yoga class, I feel less mm-hmm. stressed out, I'm going to bring my family member or friend to the yoga class next time. Mm-hmm. My intervention to you has just spread in a positive way to other people in your family or mm-hmm. your community. So from the patient perspective, it's both getting information the patient needs for herself and information she can use to help others. And I think that's super exciting.
Yes, that sounds like a total new level of empowerment that NowPow is moving people towards.
Yeah, and I use the word empowerment, and I really avoid that word in general because, you know, what I've learned is most people feel their power comes from within, not from without. But in this instance, I do think when we see people using information we give to help somebody else, that is like supercharging the interaction. Mm-hmm. That's how I mean it.
Mm-hmm. Like a vitamin of sorts.
Yeah, yeah, or you know, a super booster energy shot.
Right.
Yes. We have been thinking in our work, we're using systems science. Mm-hmm. We're using agent-based modeling to study the impact of the community RX intervention mm-hmm. on a community. Now, why are we using systems science rather than regression models? Mm-hmm. Because a regression model looks at the individual level impact. Mm-hmm. And we've discovered that when we inject information into the patient encounter, mm-hmm. it can ripple out. And we need to really understand when we're using information as our intervention, there's opportunity to think about how it affects a whole system or a whole community. Mm-hmm. So again, that's why I bring you back to those two findings, that what people do with the information for themselves and how they use it to help others. Mm-hmm. It's really stimulated us to use different scientific tools to understand the impact.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. So when I was doing my own background research, I kept coming across MAPS-CORE. Can you talk a little bit about what is MAPS-CORE, how it relates to NowPow, how they interact with one another?
Yes. MAPS-CORE is my favorite. MAPS-CORE really was the precursor to Community Rx, mm-hmm. But then came under the umbrella of the Community Rx experiment. I was mentioning when we first started speaking about the asset-based view mm-hmm. and the need for a much better understanding about what are all the assets of our community. Now, the team of people that was working together, now it was almost 10 years ago, were physicians, university faculty, professors from other divisions, students, researchers, community members. And we talked a lot about assets, and we decided to focus our effort on businesses and organizations mm-hmm. because they were sort of at the intersection of physical and human capital mm-hmm. assets. We decided we weren't going to focus on, say, the natural environment, but that would be another really important asset. When we realized that we had really poor quality data at any given time about all the businesses and organizations serving the community, mm-hmm. and then within those, what programs and services they offered to whom, we decided that we would make that the first focus of our scientific collaboration. Mm-hmm. Community members said, if we're going to work together with you, University of Chicago professors, we better do three things. We better engage youth in everything we do. Mm-hmm. Young people need exposure to science. They need a reason to feel they belong on this world-class campus at the University of Chicago. And they need jobs.
Absolutely.
They said, we better produce data that everybody can use. Go ahead and write your Nobel Prize winning paper, but we need to be able to use the data to do our business better in the community. Mm-hmm. And last, people said, we need to adopt a broad definition of health. Health is not just the absence of disease. It's about jobs. It's about the economy. And without our basic needs being met, we're really not going to get healthier. Mm-hmm. With those ideas, we decided to make our first investment in scientific collaboration with this community on the south side of Chicago, census of our assets, and we decided we would engage youth in that effort. In the first year, it was 2009, we focused on six communities, five that included the university and surrounded the university, mm-hmm. and a sixth community called Eastside, which has the largest Spanish-speaking population mm-hmm. on the south side of Chicago. We wanted to make sure our work was accessible in both English and Spanish mm-hmm. because we have such a big Spanish-speaking population in Chicago. We successfully mapped all the assets in those communities that summer. We got great feedback. There was energy to try it again, and we just kept growing. We did our work from the very beginning with the idea that one day we'd be able to put it in a box and export it somewhere else. Mm-hmm. There was a real sense here among the collaborators that we should solve big problems on the south side of Chicago by working together, but the work would really be could be evaluated one day by how well it could be exported to other communities too. Mm-hmm. If we were really solving important problems, they wouldn't be idiosyncratic solutions, they would be scalable solutions.
Oh, absolutely.
So MapsCore just, it caught on like wildfire. So we went to, I can't remember now, maybe it was 9 communities the next year and 12 communities. And by the time we were applying for the Healthcare Innovation Award that supported the Community RX project, we were, I think, in our fourth year of MapsCore. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, which offered the Healthcare Innovation Award mm-hmm. opportunity, was looking for ideas that would improve healthcare, reduce the cost of healthcare, and support development of the workforce of the future. Now, we didn't really know how necessarily we were going to accomplish the first three things, but we did see ourselves in that fourth element of that award opportunity. And we felt pretty confident that nobody else would come in with this great track record mm-hmm. of engaging youth from high poverty, disease burden communities mm-hmm. in helping to produce knowledge about community resources that we could use for better health.
Mm-hmm.
So that caught our attention, and then we had been talking about, when I keep using the word we and think of hundreds of people, but in this instance, there were a few of us who'd been talking for a few years just because we mm-hmm. liked each other, and we had the idea that we ought to be able to connect up the data the youth were collecting with the electronic health records mm-hmm. so we could better connect people real time in the healthcare visit mm-hmm. to community resources. So it was Abel Coe at Northwestern, an internist and informaticist at Northwestern, and Fred Rockman, who leads an organization called The Alliance, and myself, and a partner in my lab, Karen Lee, who were talking on a regular basis. And when the opportunity came out, we said, okay, let's propose to the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Service an innovation that will connect the electronic health records to information about resources of the community out with a workforce of mm-hmm. high school students who are going to annually gather the data.
Mm-hmm.
So MapsCore is an acronym, Meaningful, Active, Productive Science and Service to Community.
Oh, okay.
MapsCore employed its 1,000th student in 2017.
Impressive.
And it has now been replicated and is operating not just in 50 of Chicago's 77 community areas, but also in several areas of New York City, Niagara Falls, New York, and our first rural replication of MapsCore in Edgecombe and Nash counties in North Carolina. And MapsCore continues to grow. Thank you. You know, the one thing about engaging youth, this is a call to action for everybody who's listening. If you engage youth in your work, even if they have a 6-week experience, nobody can ever take that accomplishment away from you. You can change a person's life by giving them insight to how your mm-hmm. job looks and works. If every grown-up took a high school student from the south side of Chicago to work with them for a few weeks, I think we could measure the impact of that.
Mm-hmm.
So while some of the things we've tried over the years have an uncertain outcome, I don't know whether NowPal will live or die, but nobody can ever take away from us. Every summer we employ more youth and mm-hmm. expose them to the assets of their communities and give them the meaningful experience of knowing the data they collect is being used to help people take better care of themselves.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think, you know, you said you don't know whether now power will live or die, but it sounds like its impact has already really taken root and that it's already making changes in the community. And that's really exciting.
The best feeling I have is walking into the office at 53rd and South Hyde Park Boulevard. The NALPAL headquarters are here in the community where this idea was created. And as long as I'm involved, my hope is and intention is that our headquarters will stay here on the south side of Chicago. When I walk into the office, we now have between 50 and 55 people employed. Probably 40% of those people are people from this community. It's an incredibly diverse startup tech company environment. And when I say diverse, not just the beautiful range of the color of people's skin when you walk into the offices, but we have older people and younger people. We have Northwestern and University of Chicago graduates. We have people who've never worked in a tech company startup, including myself. You know, which is a really exciting 21st century workforce experience. We have people who were MapsCore team members who've now moved over to working for NALPAL. To me, the creation of jobs, the creation of tax base are the first give back we can make to this community where these ideas grew and were tested. Whether or not NALPAL has long, you know, What people would be interested in from a for-profit company would be profit. There's no profit yet. At least I haven't seen any profit yet. But it's the first experience I've had working with a for-profit company in my adult life, and that's a struggle. But it demands a certain kind of discipline in terms of achieving impact. And it will live or die. It'll either be successful as measured in dollars and profit, or it won't. But we had an obligation to try.
So as we finish up, I just want to ask you, is there anything else you want people to know about NALPAL?
Well, that's a big question. I will say I have an outstanding partner. When I, as a faculty member here at the University of Chicago, was working toward the sustainable business model for the Community Rx effort. And by the way, the reason we did this is the funder required that we identify and implement a sustainable business model for the innovation. This was one of the requirements of the Healthcare Innovation Award. We had to write a business model when we wrote the proposal. The funding period was 3 years, and at the end of the second year, anyone who does grant funding starts looking for the next the next funding mechanism. And in this case, it couldn't really be another grant. It really needed to go to market. I formed this company. I had to dial a friend to figure out how you do that on paper. And I had no idea how, though, from the end of year two to the end of year three, we were going to bring it into the real world. I received a bit of advice from the tech transfer office here at the University of Chicago. The person leading the office at the time, I said to him, you know, what not to wear? What mistake could I make? And he said, don't attempt to be the CEO of this company. That's a mistake most faculty make when they go to commercialize their ideas. I took that to heart, but that meant I had to find somebody. And I did. I found the perfect partner for me, another woman with a business degree who understands how to lead a company. She understands financial modeling. She's been trained in all the things I don't know. And I'm the puzzle piece to her because this technology, NALPAL solution, was designed to solve problems that really pain me in my day-to-day practice as a physician. So the partnership is critical. And the other thing I would say about NALPAL is the reason we've been able to grow as fast as we have is because of the incredible commitment and passion of this amazing team of people who I've already described to you. And I believe because, not in spite of, but because we chose to put our company in the community where this idea was born. Place matters. And I believe that that's something else I want you to know. I think about NALPAL's success is that it will succeed because it is here in the community where the idea was born. And that feels really important to me.
Well, Dr. Lindell, thank you once again for meeting with me today. It's been so exciting to learn about your work, NALPAL, and the programs and projects that have grown up alongside it. From all of us at CHAZ, we wish you and your colleagues the best. And to those of you who have been listening, thank you for tuning in. Have a wonderful rest of your day.